I'm going to give you Francis W.
My name is Francis, and I'm an addict. And I love you. I'd like to thank God for this opportunity, and I don't take this opportunity lightly. It could have been anyone. So I'm deeply honored. I've been asked on several occasions, but have allowed my fear, the feelings of inadequacy, to answer for me. And this is the third time, and even when I accepted this commitment this time, I picked up a condition in the last month, and I come to tell you that I'm embracing her. And it's menopause. And I'm embracing her just like I embrace my disease of addiction. Most people come to the podium with a basic text. I came to the podium with a fan. And as a result of the condition, it flared up bronchitis and laryngitis. And just Tuesday, whatever they were treating me with a month ago, I completely lost my voice. So I ask you to pray my strength tonight. And I come to share my experience, strength, and hope. Because someone took the time and the opportunity to share with me 21 years ago that I didn't have to live the way I was living. And you all have loved me to this place. And everyone sitting here tonight, you are a miracle. Please give yourself a hand. Before I go any further, I'd like to, and should have done it first, I'd like to thank the God that understands me first. I'd like to thank this committee who have taken countless hours working very hard for addicts like myself, who have often come to a place such as this to complain and to rearrange what they have done for all year. Now, I'm not going to come and give you a story of someone else's from Philadelphia or New York, or I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. You might be embarrassed, but I'm growing as a result of talking about me. They say an addict's message rings clear when we are honest. And I've wore many a masks. And so tonight, to the new person, welcome home. I'd also like to thank Kay from New York, who actually, when I told her that I didn't think that I was going to do, well, actually I refused this year to do the workshop, she decided she wanted to call to Brooklyn, New York, and get the crew from Brooklyn to call me, so I know my family from Brooklyn is sitting somewhere in the first row. They called down and threatened me. And the people who raised me, I love you. I thank you for taking care of me. And I got to give a shout out to, I have to my entire family, but I love to give a shout out to my family in Washington, D.C. You are the people who raised me. You are the people who are still raising me. You are the people who walked through me with many, many, many different difficulties on this road to recovery. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Olivia, Michael P. The other day when the doctor told me that they wanted to do a test to put the tube down in my nose to see if the throat was cancerous, I said one more time, I will not allow the disease of fear to make me think it's bigger than my God. But I left out of there fragile. As soon as I got in my car, my phone rang. And it was my sponsor. And she said, I just decided I wanted to ride down on Thursday, so I'll be picking you up in your front of your door. Just as I sat in the car, I just want to tell you that I'll be at your door to pick you up, to be with you along the way. She did not know that they had just got finished taking tubes out of my nose and had given me several reports, and they told me when they finished that it was just a case of laryngitis, but that they did have to administer some steroids to me. And the first thing I thought is, oh my God, am I going to start growing something? You know, because I always associated steroids with basketball players. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you all for all your prayers. There's some of you that I've had to actually, your energy, your love is overwhelming. You continue to love me to life. I actually ran from Eric P. Because he always is encouraging to let an addict know that you can. That you can. So I thank you all for this opportunity tonight. I'm going to share my story because our literature says in order for a new person to feel like they belong, we share our experience, strength, and hope. So I'm not going to stand before you, preach, pass judgment, and I also believe that as well as the newcomer, there are old-timers in this room that struggle, that feel uncomfortable to come to our room sometimes, to be able to pour out their experience, their pain. And our literature talks about we have an opportunity and a right to be able to come into an atmosphere to pour out our experience and not be in of judgment. This little girl never, never liked herself. I come from the Washington, D.C. area, come from a family of about seven family members, and I always felt like it was too many people. I'm one of those addicts that always was looking for attention. and it just didn't feel like I was getting any. Even as a little girl, and I always share this, and it might seem quite strange, but I could see and sense the love of the little white girl in the neighborhood of Southeast Washington. So I decided when I got home from school, I was gonna put some clothespins on my little teeny braids, y'all. And I started to act like I was white. And I started like talking proper. And my brothers and sisters started making fun of me. But I've always not wanted to be Frances. Never wanted to accept myself. But what I seen was the love and attention that she was given. But it is so wonderful to come into a fellowship that we don't care anything about your race, your creed, your color, your sexual identity, but what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. They say the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart. And as I continue to grow up, I moved over into the northeast area of Washington, D.C. And I would peep around the corner, and the nightlife looked so excited. I was addicted to the lifestyle before I even picked up a drug. And I wanted to get around that corner. I just wanted to get around that corner. I come from a very loving and caring family. I used to come to meetings and have to think that I needed to make my story be any different and take some of you and take some of your story. And my family did the best that they could. There was always love in my home. There was always food. There was always shelter. We would always have a lot of family members that would come over, and the family members would get together and do what they do on Friday night. Fried chicken, potato salad, uncles, cousins, and all of a sudden, they'd get high. They get twisted. Well, you've heard me share. I've done several topics. Secret lies and alibis. My sponsor went around telling everybody I was doing secret lies and videotapes. The room they had to call a fire marshal to get people out. It's amazing the topics on our pamphlets we identify with. The little girl grows up. Will the real me please stand up? They asked me to do work in the steps on my back. And there are some topics that I refuse to put my spirit with, because I would take you to the fourth step and talk about how we look for love in all the wrong places. Spiritual principles aren't on your back. Spiritual principles come from God. Now, that's a very uncomfortable topic, but I don't want to go too far into that right now. And I'm so glad that we have an adult audience, because I will tap into that. Because Lorena Bobbitt, at that time I was leaving out a relationship, I wanted to come in here and start a Lorena Bobbitt anonymous program. That's how that addiction carried me. They said the disease will manifest itself in other areas. And I'm gonna talk about some areas, God. Because I'm recovering from a lot of things. And guess what? He's not finished with me yet. I also want you to know that my mind ain't my friend, so I can get up here sometimes, and if I go somewhere, I might forget it. Maybe you'll help me remember a little bit of it and bring it back to me. So my mind ain't my friend. I'll be 55 years old in 120 days. 55. Sometimes my thoughts go back to 10, depending upon where I'm at spiritually. So I thank God for the opportunity to, I'm trying to catch where I had stopped at. I wanted to go around that corner. I love y'all. That corner. I did not know that that beer garden. So you can tell how old the drugs I was buying cost a dollar. And I was drinking Orange Flip. And I was hand dancing. You'll catch a little of the old timers in the hand dance tonight or tomorrow. And I wanted to get around that corner because it seemed like they was having fun. And that's what I did. Little did I know that I would never leave off of that corner. That I would be pregnant on that corner. A teenager. And I'm here to tell you that it didn't stop anything. My disease says shoot dope on the baby. So I shot dope on the baby. The baby wasn't kicking for joy. The baby was kicking for some more drugs. They admitted me into the hospital. The mall of the city, the maternity clinic, the VD clinic, and the jail sits on the same grounds. And I visit all of them. I was never incarcerated because I was a coward. If you gave me a package, it was laying on the ground under a rock. I was afraid to go to jail. And I wanted to come in here and tell y'all I had a jail story and I toted pistols and I did time. That wasn't true. I made it up. You will come to your own story. It's your story. Embrace it. Nobody can live your story but you. And it's okay if you don't know how to get to it when you get here. Just get here. Get here using. Get here cussing. Get here fighting. Get here doing just what we do. Even with clean time, we do that. The second tradition says not one of us sitting in these seats is consistently capable of making a good decision. I'm just trying to reach the unique addict. it's okay. That's what makes up this beautiful color of recovery. I could not look in the mirror, and I had got so good with jumping in and out of cars that I could put my lipstick on, and back in that days, I was on wigs and bush balls. And baby, one time I couldn't find my bush balls because I didn't like me. I was always trying to remake me. I would come out in matching colors with the bandana around my neck and, you know, always dress the outside, the masses that they talk about. And I had the matching. By the time the night was over, the wig was turned inside out, inside my pocketbook. One time I left it in the oil joint. That's the crack house. And I said, somebody ran, I said I was around I left my wig, it's somewhere. One time I put it on, it was on backwards. I'm just trying to tell you this mess that became the miracle to this miracle that can look in the mirror. Thank you. Sherman. With Jan. They've been working me all month. I love you. And so they put me in the maternity ward. And you know what? I found somebody that was just like me because they said, we don't want your child to die in your stomach, and we don't want the baby to be born with drugs in his system. And they put me in the maternity ward to detox me, and I found another addict, and we would watch each other and climb out the back window and go and cop. It's amazing when somebody offers you help and you're not ready. Don't try to get the time that somebody else got. Just thank God for where you are right now. They told me that they would love me until I learned to love myself. And the only thing that was missing in that piece is when they said it to me, and I thank God for my predecessors, Doreen and Carmelita. I had the opportunity to go pick Doreen up, to bring her back to Washington to do a workshop. And it gave me an opportunity after all of the years of listening to her share, her embrace me, her tell me to visit people who were actually taking their last breath, to telling me that I was somebody, that I would be okay, to sharing her experience. They didn't share much theory back there in 1985. They came straight raw with just what they had, and that was what I needed because I felt so helpless. I felt so worthless. I felt so inadequate. And I thank God for the message. I thank God for the message that we carry today. Please don't misunderstand what I just said. I needed to hear what I heard then to help me to just to stay still. I did not realize I had shut out major organs when I got here. I shut and drank out my gallbladder, my esophagus, which is the digestive, they said was damaged as a result of my using. I began to live like an animal. And my family is not one of those families. And my girl Joan is in here, Jeanette, you know, my homegirls. Our families were there for us. We ran in each other's mother's houses, and her mother would take care of me, and my mother would take care of her. We come from wonderful families, and I mean, I could not stand to be in all of that love. My skin crawled. I needed to be around people that was just like me. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. In July 1953, Narcotics Anonymous was formulated. Do you know when my birthday is? October the 17th, 1952. I was 9 months old. God knew I was going to have to come here. I was a 9-month-old baby. That was a revelation that came to me sitting in the parking lot reading my literature. Because you know, it's got to get spiritual. You got to read a lot of literature when you ask to speak. And then you forget everything that you read. And the meeting was, I'd already shared this meeting 10 times. I wanted y'all to know it. The only thing happened wasn't nobody in the meeting but me. So you can imagine how crazy I was when I finished. So I began hitting a lot of overdoses, and I'm going to move on. And then someone introduced to me the word insanity. And it was the doctor at a hospital, and he said to me, "Young lady, I see a miracle in you. You come over into this emergency room, you're bleeding from the insides, and I see something in you. I'd like for you to go and see a friend of mine." And it talks about it in our literature. And the friend was a psychiatrist. And the first thing I said was, "He got the problem, not me. My son got the problem. He just don't want to go to school." It was everybody but me. Denial runs deep. It was everybody but me. I just used a little bit. But I kept going over to that emergency room because I could walk from my apartment over to the emergency room and so much pain. And then they begin looking at me like as if I was some kind of creature. I begin shooting in my pulse. And they would say, "How are you living? What is keeping you alive? Do you realize that you can actually kill yourself?" And I was like, yeah, I couldn't even answer them. And when I got there one night, I said, "I'm going to take the suggestion." And I just thank God that they admitted me. I thank God for the hospital, the H&I committee, which is our hospital and institution committee. That committee that takes the meetings into the hospitals and into the institutions, the penitentiaries. And that is where I see my power of attraction, Linda D. And I knew she was my mentor in the street. She would come to that beer garden, and she would have one little teeny Safeway bag, and when she would open that Safeway bag up, she would pull out about 20 level Cokes. Woo! I said, "I want to be just like her when I grow up." Awesome. And when I seen her sitting in front of the class, I said, "If she can do it, I know I can do it." But the first feeling was, "Oh, she thinks she's cute." Oh, come on. I didn't come in here brimming with honesty, open-minded, and willingness. I came in here with a struggle. If you're struggling in here today, it's okay. Keep coming. If you don't don't understand nothing that I'm saying, just remember one thing. Keep coming back. We'll love you until you learn to love yourself. It is okay. And the drive to want what she had. I'm so glad that they didn't share that they had big cars and they had big trucks and they had the play toys that we use and the creature comforts. And I was so glad that I heard someone say, "You don't have to live like that no more, Frances, if you don't want to." But how do I get what you got? They said, just come to a place where we meet regularly to help each other stay clean. They told me to get a sponsor. They told me at that time to find a God that was loving and caring, not the one that was going that I thought would judge me, and not the one that I thought was one of those brimming gods that was going to not accept me or appreciate me, just find a matter of fact, it might be hard for you to understand the relationship with God. But let's just try another addict, another power of attraction. Just someone else. Let someone else guide you. And I surrendered and I began coming to meetings. And I began coming to meetings and wanting more of what you all had to offer. I was standing around the fire barrel at the end. I couldn't put my hands in a pair of jeans. I thought that I would never be a productive member of society again. Today, I'm grateful to say that I am a productive member of society. Taking care of grandchildren and taking care of family members and burying loved ones. Working, being responsible. All because of Narcotics Anonymous. You're powerless over your addiction, Frances, and your life had become unmanageable. I came to believe it was a power greater than me that could restore me to sanity. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And they say we can turn our life over many times and take our will back, and he'll be so freely as to give it to us. And when I got to that fourth step, they talk about being searching and fearless. Take an inventory. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It is about what you need to do to come to understand who you are. No longer were the clothes working. No longer was the sex working. No longer were the people working. You can become addicted to people. I had to detox from people. I was a people pleaser. I would do anything to be accepted. Anything. I was so grateful to have the opportunity to get into a relationship, several of them, new, old, used, somebody else's. One was too many, 1,000 never enough. And I'm putting great emphasis on that. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to talk about the prostitute, the one that looked for gain. It could have just been a pair of boots. I'm not going to stand up here and make you think I was looking for a lot and to hold it, just give it away. You find your definition at what fits you. Same pain that made me pull him down made me pull him up. And one thing I found out is you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. You need somebody to guide you. After you finish writing, you need to sit down with somebody. You need to find out what is it about you that you look for security in all the wrong places. Do you want to understand that I don't care how many times you run up your credit card so you can have a new outfit for the convention because you got to be seen. And then get back to D.C. and raise your hand in rent court. I'm just talking about me. Because you're trying to impress your disease. Your disease don't care nothing about you. We do. Same pain, a different name. Changing the seats on the Titanic. All of it's going down. And I got so tired. There was no dough. I had clean time. And I was going to meetings. And I was sponsoring people. And I was speaking. And I was stuck. And I had to go back and get the relationship with God. And I had to surrender at a whole nother level. God, help me. The same little simple prayer. God, help me. Because with 6 or 7 years, it sounded real good in my head to take my car and run it off the bridge. And I remember telling somebody that I was on a suicide mission, and they said, we're going to put you on a suicide watch. It wasn't working. And what I needed was to taste some humiliation. Little did I know that if you don't work on relationships, whether it's sponsorship, whether it's in marriage, and I thank God for God who takes care of my husband today, and I thank God for y'all who take care of him, but I need to let you all know that this is not a merge program. So any addict can help me when I'm in a situation. You go to marriage counselors and professional people. I have a disease of addiction, and I don't separate myself and say, only a married couple can help me. I don't think so. A marriage couple can be on retreat. What am I doing with my disease? I had this disease before I got married. And I thank God when I have to talk to people who will guide me, show me, and I thank God for that opportunity. But I will refuse to change my story. There might be a new person sitting in here or someone sitting in here who's struggling with that addiction that do drive-bys with clean time. Because I talked to people before I got married, and they were telling me exactly what was going on, too. So I know we like to focus on the newcomer. But there are married couples also who have that addiction that they can't sit home to. And that's not to take a shot, that's just to lay the truth. It's just the truth. And we all need each other. We have to embrace each other and tell each other that we love each other. And this is what's happening for me. And so what happened, I got exposed and embarrassed. Because the same way I think that I can run through people's lives, someone stepped into my life. Hi. I want what you got, and I'm willing to go to any length to get it. And I was devastated. Remember the pain that you gave somebody else? It's just right back at you. And I was so hurt. And just like I mentioned earlier, at that time, Lorena Bobbitt had hit the headlines. And I said, that sound like a good idea. And I remember my girlfriend telling me, Jeanette, tree boxing is a crime. Because I had begun stalking. I said, I surrender, y'all. The same pain that's caused you misery all of your life. Sixth step. Ask them. Show you more these defects. Arrest them. Give them to them. Ask them to remove your shortcomings, the falling short of the defect. Make the list. And the list is not the people that were way back there in your past. Try the person that sponsored you, that you outgrew. Everybody knew that that was your sponsee because she bought 100 balloons to your anniversary. And when you get to the podium all of a sudden, you no longer honored the work that you all done together. And if you outgrew her, whatever happened to the addict helping another without parallel? Why would you leave her or him? What about the person that you know that walked up and hugged the person beside you and left you standing right there? I felt the hurt when that happened to me. I had to ask God to help me to forgive those that I had hurt. Because now I'm getting hurt by the response to what I have done to them. Put those names on the list. Try the son. Try the mother and father's house that you turned into an orgy on a crack house. That they had to step over people. The one that you almost set the whole family on fire. On one of your drunken stoops and one of your overdose times. The last overdose that had me in a coma. Try the pain that you took your family to. Write their names on the list. And I was so glad that an older member informed me that it's very important that you don't take your family back through everything that you've gone, that you've already exposed them to. Invite them to your anniversary and start talking about, well, you did Uncle such and such, and you stole out of the pocketbook, and Don't drag your family back through all of that again. And I said, thank God, because I remember asking my mother to come to my anniversary, and my mother felt like she was responsible for what happened to me. And she told me I would never come to no one of those anniversaries. All of those people were looking at me. They thought that we had never taken care of you. That's just my experience. I hope it might help somebody else. And I remember going to my son and telling my son, son, I am so sorry for all of the faces and the people that I exposed you to. I am so sorry for the times where I cussed you out when you said you were hungry and we were on the same corner. And I told you, you weren't getting my last $5. And I began talking to him and began apologizing. And he turned to me and said, Ma, actually, I ain't missed nothing. I was having fun. We was like stealing y'all money and some more stuff. You know, make amends wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. The maintenance step. Continue to look. Continue to take a personal inventory. And when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. I know when I've caused you harm. Don't wait for 2 and 3 months. You know immediately. You begin to get a conscience in this program, Francis. You can't sleep at night. Why don't you take the time, Francis, and spend some time with me rather than trying to be accepted all over the place? Go back home and get your family. Everybody in Narcotics Anonymous know you by now. Go back and get your family. Spend time with them. Spend time with me. He says, sort through prayer. Stop throwing up those prostitution prayers. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Get a relationship with me. Talk to me. I'll answer you in some quiet times. I'll tell you when to be still. And I didn't say anything about religion. You have a right to your own God. That is not our responsibility. But I want you to know that it took me getting that relationship that's making me become this miracle in the mirror today. I was told when I completely lost my voice the other day not to talk. And I'm a talker. Some things sometimes I'm just talking. I'm gonna be honest. But what I said was, God, if I don't get this opportunity to share at this convention, my 12-step work is not always in front of everybody. I love 12-step work that takes you away from everybody seeing what you're doing. And I had no idea, with the laryngitis, the bronchitis, and the pain that I was going through, because I forgot to tell you that about a year ago I began breaking out with ulcers in my mouth that kept me from talking. I couldn't open my mouth. It was very painful. And I've been going through this for almost a year. But there is strength in your struggles. You're made strong in your weakness. Your mistakes become your story. And this woman came to me and she was homeless. And I couldn't talk. said, God, do you not have the time to give me, to open up my mouth a little bit to find some place for her to stay? I took her to Sister Gloria. Sister Gloria put her up one night. The next night, I said, you got to go home with me. I cannot leave you standing in the back of DC General where I remember my story, where a woman was standing next to the shelter talking to the spirits of the air and another woman laying on the grass. I said, God, just give me the strength to carry out your 12-step work today. And he made it possible. 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with another sister on my mind and made a phone call at 8 o'clock, and she had some place to go. I'm just trying to share that the 12-step walk is not always behind one of these podiums. It's not always what I say, it's what I do. I want to be able to share where I don't bring injury to you. That when we see each other, that we embrace each other. My father died on my birthday, October the 17th. A couple of weeks ago, because this is a family disease, my nephew was sentenced to 15 years. I ask you, family, please continue to let the doors be open for old-timers to be able to share right where they are. In spite of what it might look like, because I was always one that could always mask the outside. But sometimes we be in such great pain. And to the newcomer, don't always feel that the old timer got something to tell you. It says even the new person has a message. The 24-hour baby. Get a relationship with the God of your understanding. Thank you. I don't have anywhere to go, and I don't want to go anywhere. This is my home, and you all are my family. Please take some time this weekend. There are a lot of spirits here at this convention. Let's be on our best behavior. People are watching us. When we go to restaurants, I understand sometimes we got a grandstand because we're finally being served. It was a bag of potato chips and a Hershey with almond and a Pepsi for me. I don't want to get too cute. This egg doesn't look like I eat it. There dear human beings, leave the towels in the hotels. Lower your expectations when you go to the workshops. I noticed that when I am not spiritually connected and I am bringing into a meeting me, I expect for you to take care of me. And when you don't take care of me, I begin to tell the other people around me that somebody ain't working on nothing or they ain't sharing nothing. If you get that opportunity and you need to help the person that's doing the workshop, you always have the opportunity to pass your number to them and tell them that you've worked through something. And normally what I find, honestly, it is really the people who have a lot of time who will take people with them out of the workshops. Newcomers don't know how to do that. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? I'm just sharing my experience. I've done it. They ain't talking about nothing. They ain't working on nothing. Where do we get that at? We all are a miracle. Right in the place that we are. Is my time about up? How much more time do I have? I'm going to give you a few more minutes. Thank you. And I just want to read something. Okay. It was our seventh step, and it was read, and I just want to read it again, and I'm going to close with that. You know how you be trying to find something, you can't find it, look. We're being changed. We've not only heard about the miracle of recovery, we are becoming living, breathing examples of what the power of NA program can do. The spiritual life has ceased to be a theory. We hear about it in meetings. It is now becoming a tangible reality. We can see a miracle simply by looking in the mirror. The God of our understanding has taken us from spiritually unconscious, hopeless addicts to spiritually aware, recovering addicts eager to live. Willie, I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you who prayed, who told me to challenge this fear. I want to thank you all for always being available for me. I wanted to dedicate and remember that last year, when I came to this convention, I was with one of our members, and his name is Luigi. And we stayed in the room with Jerome over one of the houses. And Luigi said to me, Francis, I just want you to know that next year I am going to be upstairs because I'm going to have my prosthetic leg. You're going to have to sleep downstairs, you and your husband. But can you do me a favor? When we get back to D.C., can you lead the meeting for me on Monday? And Luigi and I sat up and talked, and it was raining, and everybody came to the convention, and they were having a wonderful time. And Luigi stayed in that night. And I sat there with him like a little girl. And we laughed and we talked. And on Monday, he got back to Washington, D.C., and he did the meeting. And I remember calling Sister Gloria, and I said, "Sister Gloria, I'm a little tired from the convention. Can you go and do the meeting for me at 12 noon at Trust Clinic, 2146 24th Place in Washington, D.C.?" If you aren't coming off any highway, just come on over to that meeting. And Sister Gloria said, "Sure." And Tuesday, Luigi went in the hospital. And little did I know that that was going to be my last meeting with Luigi. Luigi died. And I remember him telling me last year, when I told him that I was asked to do this Friday night meeting, "Can you do a Saturday night meeting? Can you do a Sunday spiritual meeting?" And each time I refused, he said, "Francis, God will give you that opportunity, and when it's your time, it's your time." I thank God for the addict in Baltimore. And I'm sharing this to say that we need each other as a family. For the loved ones who have gone on, who leave their families behind. And last week, one of my friends called me, and we buried his 30-year-old daughter in Baltimore. He was at a meeting the next day. No matter what, no matter what, we come to meetings. No matter what, we don't use. We can get through any struggle. There's going to be a memorial, an awesome memorial of all of our loved ones. I want to thank the committee again for this awesome opportunity. I want to thank you all that were very patient with me. I know I love you also. I know I'm not going to possibly be able to get all of your numbers, but in passing, if we can embrace each other this weekend and hold each other up, one more time, you've given me another opportunity to have the strength to be able to look in the mirror, to appreciate what Narcotics Anonymous is doing in my life, and to continue on this journey. Thank you for letting me share.